Hello, and welcome to The Wavelength, Avonhurst's global political strategy podcast. Every episode, we highlight a diverse range of emerging international developments and the potential effects on economies and societies. In the current global geopolitical climate, against the backdrop of constantly evolving political agendas, legislative and political risk seem more important than ever. Leading the conversation is Tina Fordham, our very own head of global political strategy, industry leader and Avonhurst partner. Now, the big story is the beginning of the return to normality and the ensuing euphoria and optimism we may face now. In fact, the IMF's recent report predicts that the most advanced countries may even emerge largely unscathed from the pandemic. But what's happening below the radar that we might be missing? What are the rising geopolitical risks?
Well, I don't like to be the person who rains on the parade. And with the pandemic, I think we're all feeling a sense of relief and euphoria. And there's actually plenty of justification for that. We saw the new IMF World Economic Outlook forecasts over the weekend, and they were very optimistic indeed. Markets have certainly taken their cues from that. What I want to caution about is that the fact that the world's leading nations are very intensely focused on the vaccine rollout efforts and this return to economic normality also makes it a particularly opportune time for rogue actors and challenger states to take advantage of the situation to try to change the facts on the ground. And we're starting to see a significant uptick along those lines in terms of geopolitical tensions. And I think that market participants haven't been as focused on them as they might be. There are a number of stories that under normal circumstances would be on the front page.
So thinking about the news agenda, why don't we start with Russia? Why is what's going on there at the moment important? And moreover, why do investors need to worry about that?
Well, it's an example of the kind of small geopolitical, hotspot that even in 2014, when Russia, retook or annexed Crimea, markets weren't hugely fussed about, but at the time I identified as a kind of a pivotal geopolitical moment, and that is the kind of annexation of sovereign territory. So the danger is that we say we don't expect a hot war between Russia and Ukraine. Why would anybody do that at this kind of sensitive juncture? And therefore, it's not important. I'd go further than that. I think we could see months of tensions, first of all, with periodic conflict. That will particularly worry Europe. And France and Germany have already been accused of a weak response, merely urging de-escalation between the parties. The last thing France and Germany need when they're dealing with their virus-fighting efforts is a problem on the eastern border. And that's particularly as we head into the European election supercycle. Second, the United States is also focused on vaccine-fighting efforts. Biden has sent two warships to the Black Sea in response to the Russian moves. But the last thing the U.S. wants to do is to get involved in a conflict. And of course, Ukraine is not a NATO member state. So there's no Article 5 obligation. So why it really matters, it's a great opportunity to take advantage of big powers being distracted elsewhere. So if Putin did want to, further territorial annexation or otherwise take gains, it would be a major test both for the United States and for Europe and also for NATO. And we've got a NATO summit coming up, and Ukraine continues to lobby for NATO membership, something Russia doesn't want. It also highlights, frankly, the impotence of European Union foreign policy. Merkel has been the most involved in managing Russia policy. We won't see another German chancellor like her. And I think that vacuum is going to be exposed. But why Ukraine and Russia matters the most is because of China. China will be watching carefully to see what happens, frankly, when the West is provoked. over Ukraine, over this territory, because it's got its eyes on its own big prize, and that's Taiwan.
And the weekend attack on the Iranian nuclear facility, it'd be interesting to get your take on, and again, how that fits into the conversations and concerns around investment. Again, what do investors need to worry about there?
Well, ever since January, really, there's been an uptick in tensions between Israel and Iran making a number of provocations in the Strait of Hormuz and elsewhere. Part of that is something that we're used to seeing, right? When Iran wants to get the world's attention, North Korea does the same thing. It tends to make sort of small moves to remind the world that it can be a disruptive force. Iran has been very clear that it would like to see the Biden administration return to the diplomatic table with the P5 plus one talks. That now is seeming a lot less likely following the attack that Israel has claimed responsibility for on an Iranian nuclear facility. So, you know, simply the absence of a return to diplomacy with Iran is something that markets will be sensitive to. Although I would highlight that the transmission mechanism between Middle Eastern volatility and higher oil prices isn't what it used to be. So it's less, I think, about commodity prices and that channel, and more, again, about this idea that geopolitical volatility is on the rise. Now, of course, investors in this market will also be tracking sources of geopolitical volatility because they could signal a buying opportunity. And I suppose you could interpret a lot of what, you know, we're talking about here as a likelihood of more geopolitical volatility ahead. I don't see it becoming systemic in the market sense because we continue to have so much central bank liquidity. But if you're looking for disruptions, whether it's the Russia-Ukraine tensions, Iran-Israel, I think there'll be plenty of sources of geopolitical disruption in the months ahead.
What other conflicts can you see unfolding, Tina?
Well, much closer to home, unfortunately, we now need to keep an eye again on Northern Ireland, where we have had a very hard-won peace for some time. But again, over the last week, some of the worst violence, sectarian violence in Northern Ireland for decades, unfortunately. Many people will not be of an age to remember the conflict in Northern Ireland, one of the longest raging on the continent, dividing the Republic and Northern Ireland. But I think that this risk of conflict relapse needs to be interpreted through the prism of having more significance, given we're in the midst of rising support for Irish reunification and a possible referendum. I don't think that has been adequately contemplated, let alone priced into markets. And it's not clear how the violence would impact prospects for reunification. But one of the byproducts of Brexit is certainly support for a Scottish independence referendum, as well as Irish reunification. More violence is going to be a driver in that, and is really, you know, letting the genie out of the bottle in a way that we haven't experienced for quite some time.
So, is it actually all doom and gloom?
Not at all. There really are many reasons to be genuinely optimistic, and our Vax Populi framework, I think, captures these sources of support for growth and resilience and recovery very, very well. In our upcoming numbers, we should start to see, you know, which countries are really going to reap the benefits not only of vaccinating their populations, but maintaining the trust of their citizens and taking advantage of the, you know, the opportunity of the crisis to, you know, whether it's build back better or otherwise make improvements that will bolster social cohesion and resilience in the face of the next crisis. Because if we've learned anything in this last year, it is that investing in sources of resilience is something that really pays dividends, frankly, to countries and societies.
That was The Wavelength. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Avonhurst, you can find us at www.avonhurst.com. And we look forward to welcoming you next time.